Hey, Mike, it's up here in New England with the New England Writers. How are you?
Good.
All right, thanks for taking a few minutes for us.
No problem.
Yeah, look, just started out, just looking at your team. We always think about the Broncos with that great rushing attack, and here we see a high-flying passing attack. I'm sort of curious, is that a change, or how do you sort of see the offense evolving maybe from what we've seen from the past?
Well, I don't know. By the end of the year, I think it'll be more balanced than you probably look at it right now from the statistical standpoint. Early teams are taking away the run, and then some teams start taking away the pass, so I don't think we'll ever change our philosophy, but right now, as you mentioned, we have thrown the ball more than we normally do.
How would you assess Jay Cutler's performance at this point?
Well, I think he's done an excellent job, you know, coming into his third year. You know, in our two losses we've had seven turnovers. You can't win football games, as we all know, and turn the football over. So we've got to get better in that area with fumbles and INTs. I've been pleased with his progress this year. We've thrown a lot at him relative to the playbook, and he's handled it quite well.
Jay just said that the sort of three-week scoring dip that you've had has been most the biggest problem has been turnovers. Would you agree with that, and how do you solve that?
Well, you know, ball, obviously turnovers, ball security. And in Kansas City, we had four, and you know, we had 450 yards, and you turn the ball down there, you don't get points. I think we had three against Jacksonville, and same thing. You hit the ball on the 5-6 yard line, the other side of midfield, and regardless of how much you move the football, you're not going to score points. So in Tampa, we played a little bit better, and we're able to win the game. We won the turnover battle on low-scoring games, so that's going to happen sometimes. But you just got to protect the ball. You know, New England's been great through the years, unbelievable when you look at the stats. And if they win the turnover ratio, they win. If you don't, you lose. And it's pretty indicative of most teams, but especially against a team that plays great defense.
How much does Jay's arm strength allow you to call plays that maybe you couldn't call if he didn't have that kind of a cannon?
Well, I think sometimes the arm strength is overrated. You know, a lot of these quarterbacks have, you know, really good arm strength. They can make all the throws, and you know, sometimes, I've been around a lot of quarterbacks that get great arms that can't play the game. So, it takes a lot more than arm strength to obviously to be a great quarterback in this league.
Besides the physical strength of his arm, what's the key then for Jay? What do you like most about him?
Well, he reads coverages extremely well. You know, he focuses downfield, not at the rush. You know, he's very competitive. You know, he's plays with a lot of confidence. You know, he's got some speed. He can make plays if people are covered with his legs, and it's kind of what I look for in a quarterback.
Mike, I know you liked Lawrence Maroney quite a bit going into the draft. Are you surprised that he hasn't maybe put up the big year that a lot of people would have expected him to kind of have routinely coming into the league?
Yeah, you just don't know from the injury standpoint. You know, a lot of times you like a guy coming out of the draft, and for one reason or another, a guy gets banged up or injured, and they're not as productive as you first thought they would be, and mainly it's because of injuries. And I don't know, you know, Maroney's situation as well as you guys do, because you know we don't play each other every year, but when I first saw him, you could see the talent that he had, and I guess he's been hampered with injuries.
In Minnesota, when he did in Minnesota, we're projected pretty well to what you guys do, right? As far as, you know, a lot of the outside zone stuff and playing with one cut.
Yeah, very, very, very similar to what we look for in a running back, correct.
How's Daniel Graham been, Mike, you know, since you guys signed him? I mean, has he sort of come as advertised? What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's been great for us. You know, he's a natural team leader. He's a great worker. You know, he can dominate at the point of attack in the running game and pass protection. He does a good job receiving, where, you know, you've got to account for him. And, you know, not too often you can leave a tight end on a defensive end and not worry about it. And Daniel's got that type of ability and pass protection. And, you know, at 250-something pounds, he can block the best of the outside linebackers in the league, and you know, he's got good hands. So we really like what we got, and he's been really a leader both on and off the football field for us. And you know, good to have him back in Colorado.
What did you see in Eddie Royal in the draft?
Well, we thought as a staff that there wasn't anybody close relative to bump coverage, beating bump coverage, and that's the first thing that we look for. The ability to get away from bump and separate yourself, but you don't know the other things. You only caught 34 balls. You don't know how consistent they are catching the ball. You're not sure how long it takes somebody to learn what they're doing. Is the game too big for them? Does it take 2, 3, 4 years for them to feel comfortable with the pro game? And Eddie was a guy that came in right from the first day, and you knew after 3 or 4 days that he's going to be your starting wide receiver, just the way he handled himself and his strength, his explosion, his ability to catch the ball. The game wasn't too big. He's a very, very intelligent guy, so he picks up the playbook very quickly, and he loves to compete.
Mike, I know you probably were aware of Josh Morgan, too, who played opposite Royal at Virginia Tech.
Yes.
Was there, and obviously he's impressed the coaching staff in San Francisco quite a bit, is there a reason why those two guys, I guess it's kind of stunning, you look at two guys who were so productive and, who've been productive as rookies, is there a reason why they weren't as good in college, why that offense wasn't a little bit better at Virginia Tech?
Well, you could see both of them would have been different systems that, passing type schools, I think, would have been a lot different. A lot of times you do what your quarterback can do, and I think that's what they did. They were more concerned with, winning games and making the wide receivers look good. I'm sure if they would have had a natural throwing quarterback that the stats would have been a lot different. If he would have been at Florida, I think obviously with the quarterback that they had, they would have been a lot more productive.
Mike, what do you see from this Patriots offense post-Tom Brady? What are you seeing with Matt Castle leading them?
Well, we all know, what Tom Brady, what he's done and what he's meant to, the Patriots or, the National Football League in general. But, Tom is, you can never make the right call. Tom would get you with the protections, with the long counts, and no matter what blitz you had, he'd be able to redirect the offensive line to the right blitzer. And if you did get a guy free, he would know where his third, fourth wide receiver is. And that just takes some time. One of the reasons why arguably he's the best in the game is just how he's played and how many games he's won. And it takes quarterbacks time. That doesn't happen overnight. So Matt will just keep on getting better and better as he experiences the offense. And I'm just hoping he doesn't do it Monday night.
Could you talk about just what the type of pressure there is on someone when you have a franchise iconic quarterback like you had with Elway, and then I know Matt isn't in really the same position as you were when Elway retired, but just taking over, everybody always compares you to the last guy.
Yeah, and it's impossible to do, especially when the Super Bowls, the 3 Super Bowls, and the way he's played, how many games that New England's won in a row, and it's. Anytime you play behind a legend, it's almost impossible. But at least the interviews that I've seen of Matt, he seems like he handles it real well, and Tom's helped him, and he understands that hey, you've got to forget about the critics and just concentrate on the job at hand, and that's what he's doing.
You have two offensive tackles who were in their first year starting. Is it odd, or I guess pleasant surprise, that you've only allowed 2 sacks on the year?
Yeah, it's we've got 2 young guys that have really stepped up and played well. Ryan Clady, obviously the rookie, and Ryan Harris out of Notre Dame, our third-round draft choice the year before, who had back surgery shortly after he came. Both guys have been playing well, and young guys with bright futures, and hopefully they can play like that the whole year.
Did you like it when Jay sort of called out Brandon Marshall, and how do you think Brandon has responded to that?
Well, Jay's pretty honest, and Jay spent a lot of time with Brandon in Atlanta. They hang around together, so anytime you're really good friends, sometimes you can call a guy out that normally, if you're not very close to him, you can't do, especially as a quarterback. They care a lot about each other. They spent a lot of time, and Jay thought Brandon made a mistake, and it was a silly mistake. So he was kind of expressing his feelings toward it, and Brandon has done a great job since then, about handling himself the right way, been leader off the field as well as on it, you know, just dealing with kids and trying to really represent our organization well and do things that can help kids, especially underprivileged kids. And he's been also doing a good job on the field.
Mike, as a coach, do you like it when a guy like Brandon puts it out there that he wants to catch 140 passes? Or is that something where you kind of shake your head and you say, oh, God?
Well, I think what happens is the guy gets more mature. He understands that, hey, you know, the most important thing is to win football games. And if you win football games, then good things happen to everybody. And, you know, I think that sometimes is a guy that has some individual goals that he wants to meet. He's not afraid to share those goals. And sometimes people look at him as very selfish, but he's not a selfish guy because you'll watch him block and you'll watch him do things that a lot of receivers won't do.
Two sort of league things I just want to run by, Mike. What do you think of the defensive headsets? How's that working out for you? And what's your approach on deferring in the coin toss?
I always want the ball. You know, to me, if you I've just been always that way from an offensive mindset that if you don't want the ball, you don't have a lot of confidence in your offense. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I operate. Now, mm-hmm. It may change depending on the weather or the wind. If I thought there was a strategic advantage because it was too windy or something like that, I may defer to the second half or something along those lines. And I'm sorry, what was the other question?
Just the defensive headsets. How's that working out for you?
I think it's working out pretty good. I don't think it's foolproof yet, but you know, sometimes they go out. But I think it helps. You don't have to spend as much time, you know, signaling, and you still got to get ready for it. But it seems a little bit smoother.
Is Elvis Dumervil's injury hampering him, do you think, in the pass rush?
It has. I think last week he was pretty close back to normal, and this week he's even feeling a little bit better. So I think it did hamper him the first four games, you know, having those fingers taped together, not being able to use that hand the way he wanted or the fingers the way he wanted. But he's close to having full use now, so hopefully we'll see in the second half of the season him playing at the level he played at last year.
Does he have is he wearing a cast, or was it just taped up?
Yes, kind of taped up with two fingers. I think it is a small, like a soft cast, but nothing like it was earlier in the first 4 weeks.
Mike, this is kind of an offbeat league question, too, and specific to another team. When you guys played San Diego earlier, did you notice a big difference in Phillip Rivers this year from years past? And I mean, I guess one thing that I kind of got from other people was the ball is coming out quicker.
Yeah, he reads coverages extremely well. And he's, he's what you look for in a quarterback. He's going to throw it to the right guy, makes very few mistakes. And you can see his growth just, as a quarterback over the last 2 years. You know, he was very fortunate early in his career. He got to, you know, sit on the bench and behind Drew and got a lot of mental reps. But, he's getting to be one of the best in the NFL.
Is the AFC as wide open as it's been in a while?
I think so. I think a lot of teams are close. You know, a lot has to do with injuries. Teams can, you know, stay healthy down the stretch, but I don't think there's any one team like, you know, New England was all last year that I see anyhow, where you're just saying, hey, you know, they may not lose. I know Tennessee's got an excellent defense right now, and they're playing well, but I don't see anybody in New England's territory of a year ago.
Last thing for me, completion percentage against you is pretty high. What's been going wrong there, and have you seen any positive steps lately?
Well, anytime someone's completing over 70% of their passes, it's hard to do that when there's no defense out there, so hopefully we get a little bit better.
Do you think it's...
That's something we're working on, obviously, not working hard enough, but hopefully we'll get better in the second half of the season, and we're definitely working on it, though. Do you think that New England will ever run with that percentage?
We'll ask Bill about that.
Okay, I'm sure he'll share that with me.
Yes. And, Mike, this is our last question. Thanks for the time here. Obviously, local interest in Tom Nalen, and he's out for the year, and we know his contract's up at the end of the year. Where do you see that heading? I mean, is the door still open that he might be able to come back one more time for another year, maybe?
Yeah, that door's still open, and I told Tom, I said, hey, just take your time and decide what you want to do. You know, Tom's the type of guy that, you know, he's going to play hurt. He's going to play with a lot of pain, and for him not to be able to play with the knee like it is not a good sign, because it's hard to keep a guy like that out. And, you know, just taking a look at the x-rays, it does not look good at this time. But you never know what happens. If he decides to get a microfracture, or maybe it just gets better, you just really don't know. So I don't want to count him out. Mm-hmm. But, boy, he's been a warrior for us. And you're talking about a guy that has helped this organization win a lot of games.
Hey, Mike, sorry, one last one. How do you, you know, you've had great success against the Patriots here since Bill's been here. I mean, is there any common thread there?
No, we've had some great games, to be honest with you. And, you know, I just know what type of coach he is, how good he is. And so, you got to be at your best. You know, you can't give the game away. And if you do lose a turnover battle, or you make a mistake here or there, you know, you're going to get beat. So our football team knows that, you know, a lot of respect for the organization and what they've accomplished. And, you know, we know we got to give them the best shot to have a chance.
That's great, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Really appreciate the time.
Okay, guys, take care.
Thanks, Mike.